Hello, folks, and welcome to Wobbly Player Syndrome, episode 19. Almost forgot. Yeah, brilliant start to the game. It is a Tuesday instead of a Monday. We got excited with our hobby progress that we booked ourselves for a hobby night and a podcast. And apparently hobbying is more important than me rambling in front of a microphone. So here we are. We have two of our usual folks. We have Mark on my left.
Hey.
The enthusiastic one, you can tell. The massive beard man. The bearded man. That's what I'm trying to say. He's got one of his new shirts on, it looks like.
Yeah. Remember, yeah. Katie?
No. It's Michael!
Hey!
And, of course, my annoying voice is Greg. Now, it is only the three of us tonight. What's going on there? What's going on? Tuesday night, nobody can be on.
I guess everyone's just too good for it.
You're saying we're scraping the barrel, that's why we're here? Careful.
This is my break night.
This is break night. Well, this episode is... we sort of hinted at it last episode on the slow grow events and other events we've had. I just realized there's a big fingerprint on my glasses, which is really useful for the podcast listeners. I can't see. that we're talking about organized events. For us, it's the do's and don'ts of disorganized events, because we're really good at stuff like that. Actually, this year is probably the first year I've stepped away from trying to organize anything more than any other year, and look how well it's gone.
Well, how it's gone is we've had a lovely game, and we've all played some nice games. Everyone left it all on the field, gave 110%. Well, to be honest, though, I mean, we have gotten a fair few games going this year.
Yeah, we have. We played a few games, which is good. But, yeah, we should save that talk. That's our main topic. We've got to bring exactly. them in. Drag
Give it away
them
for
in.
Free!
You can't do that. There's sponsors. There's ramblings. There's battle reports. There's more ramblings.
So why don't we start with our new stuff?
All right.
New stuff.
Hey, Michael, what's new?
Yeah. Well, actually, I was surprised by how little stuff there was this month. I felt like there was more, but then there wasn't. So first up, probably the weirdest one, Aeronautica Imperialis.
Yeah, that's not good.
Are you guys interested in that?
Yes, I am, because I really enjoyed Wings of Glory, and I thought, ooh, a 40k version? That could get me.
I sort of saw it, and I was like, so what, is this like the Speed Freaks, but like aeroplanes, or...
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, for a change of pace, I haven't actually bought this one yet. It's just because I'm like, no one I know is going to play that.
And for the podcasters, I got my hand up.
So,
that actually got me interested. And then I started reading the rules and going, okay, you seem to have made it more complicated than it really needed to be. Good.
Are you familiar with Games Workshop?
Well, have you seen the new, coming soon, is the new pocket-sized rulebook?
Pocket-sized rulebook?
Yeah, the condensed version, basically without all the fluff.
I just hope that they actually update it with, like, the latest
writers.
Chapter approved and that. Because I get the impression that this will just be, like...
The eight pages from the main book at the moment.
Man, if they release like a 7th edition starter set sized rulebook that includes all of the up-to-date errata and stuff for the main rules and changes to detachments and all of that bullshit has come through over the FAQs and chapter approved, I will bust so many nuts. It'll be like a fucking macadamia tree in here.
No, it'd be good.
Yeah, but if they don't, then it's just like, why bother?
Yeah.
If it's just going to be like, here's those fucking couple of pages from the other book in a pamphlet, that's a waste of everyone's time.
Well, it's a book, so it's no pop-ups, which could be actually exciting.
Well, I mean, if it's going to be a book and it's supposed to be, like, all rules, then surely they've put all the extra stuff in there.
Well, I just thought, if they made the electronic book, that's where they should be putting it, so the electronic book can be updated on a regular basis. Just, type, upload.
True, but then you don't have a physical book. And how can you throw the book at someone if it's a tablet?
I'll throw my freaking laptop at them, that's how.
Yeah, but then you don't buy a new
Mac,
laptop.
Like iPad.
I'll throw their laptop at them, that's how.
Whack! I carve all my FAQs from slate so that I can really throw the fucking book at you.
That's it. Oh, we lost your camera, Michael.
Got my camera.
I can see his camera.
It's right there.
Oh, funny. I've got a little icon of you lovely night outfit.
There.
In a lovely night. Oh, yeah, okay.
Oh, there he is.
Weird.
And that was thrilling viewing for your listeners.
Because everything else that I've seen from the new releases was just all teasers about codex supplements and stuff.
Oh, no, Raven! There's been, we just got distracted by Aeronautica. Yeah, we haven't got to the other stuff
yet. Yeah, good.
So, yeah, codex supplement, Raven Guard.
Yeah!
Obviously. There's been a Raven Guard Primaris upgrade sprue, which has come out at the same time. They Primarisified Kayvan Shrike, and he's the chapter master now, not just the first captain.
Well, yeah,
which is interesting.
Stuff.
He got a promotion. Apparently, his boss died,
and an emo haircut.
Yeah, but to be honest, we all knew that haircut was under there the whole time.
Oh yeah,
but that's why it was a beaky helmet, to get all the hair in.
Yeah, I heard that people are already planning their mods for beaky heads.
Oh my god!
Yeah.
So yeah, we got that. We got Codex Supplement Iron Hands and all of the power-mongering competitive list douchebags have busted their nuts over the new Iron Hands rules. We got the Iron Hands upgrade sprue, because Iron Hands upgrade sprues are always cool.
Yeah,
I just love one
cool.
of those.
Yeah.
Some new tech marine douchebag Primaris called Pharos.
Yeah.
Did he used to be a character, or is he new? I feel like he's new.
I don't know. I feel he's new too, because I'm not familiar, but I'm not familiar very well with the Iron Hands.
They didn't used to have a character called Pharos. I don't know if he's from their fluff or something, because I don't care about their books. So, poor Iron Hands. I have an Iron Hands army. It's just not very big. Eliminators. The Eliminators came out.
Yeah.
Everyone's going to cry.
Yeah.
So many Eliminators.
That is $84 for three, though. $84 for three. I don't think you see that many on the field.
I own 9 of them now.
See? Told you.
He bought them all.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
sold out due to...
The ones in Shadow Sphere didn't come with the stupid gun on the captain from memory, on the sergeant from memory. And the new box comes with the two different loadouts, so you can give them the crazy anti-material rifles.
No. Okay. Right.
Yeah, they can have like their crazy sniper rifles with their crazy sniper ammunition, or they can take like these strength 8 bullshit guns.
Aren't all Primaris weapons bullshit guns?
I cannot tell a lie, so I won't. They also released a Primaris Lieutenant in Phobos armor.
Yep.
Who's pretty cool.
Is it just me, or is there always a Primaris Lieutenant being released every other month?
Primaris Lieutenant. They took their cue from Blizzard. There will always be a Lich King. There will always be a Primaris Lieutenant.
I honestly lost count how many variants of that guy is out there.
So many fucking lieutenants. Like, holy shit.
you love it.
There was a Warcry expansion pack came out. Monsters and Mercenaries.
There just seems to be a lot of. Was Lieutenant an elite? He's an elite, isn't he? Sorry, sidetracked.
No, lieutenants are HQ.
They are HQ.
You can get two of them for once. Yeah. We also got Gotrek Gurnison. Turns out he survived the destruction of the Warhammer world.
It's pretty
which
clever.
Was a thing.
Right?
Yeah, well, he's you know why he survived? Because he didn't want to.
Yeah.
Why he survived.
That's how it works for him.
Because nothing ever goes right for him. He's like, finally, I have died my glorious death. And now he's back. And he's like, fucking hell!
Bastards!
He's really, really bad at getting killed.
He is the worst slayer ever.
He is. but he's the best at it.
I was wondering how it would go where his god was like one of the few ones who survived to the new world and then got killed. It's like, I wonder if that means Gotrek will be back. And there we go. He is. there was a bunch of books as well of various things. There's a book about Call, which I'm tempted to buy because I'd be interested to see what Call's doing now.
Did he escape? I thought he stayed. No, I'm thinking somebody else.
I still don't have your camera, yes. By the way, Michael. I don't know what's going on there.
Really? I've still got no camera? Yeah. What the fuck's going on there?
All right. And just to be clear, there are only two Primaris Lieutenants.
That's a flagrant lie.
Well, I'm on the site right now, Space Marines HQ, Phobos Armor with Power Sword. There's a captain
in
Phobos.
There are two entries, but there's like 12 models for that guy.
Yeah, because every time they have like Warhammer World, there's a new lieutenant you can get it. And there was a new lieutenant in like half the White Dwarves, and there was a new lieutenant because it was Thursday. You know,
there's like, a special Ultramarines lieutenant. I'm just saying. There's the Dark Angel lieutenant. There's a Blood Angel lieutenant, isn't there? There's a Space Wolf lieutenant.
There's
the special limited edition lieutenant that came with that they just released.
Is that Game Star or something
sets,
like that?
But it's not limited edition anymore. There's been so many.
I'm waiting for Lieutenant Dan.
Lieutenant Dan.
I'm sure one of them's called Dan.
If not, it will be.
any model where you lose half of it. Well, I guess it's the upper half. You ain't got no legs, Lieutenant Dan!
Iron hands.
Iron hands. Yeah, so
he had metal legs, come on.
So yeah, okay. Yeah. Warcry. It seems, I don't know, with those Underworld and Warcry, they're coming out with expansions very quickly.
Yeah, I was surprised by how quickly the Warcry expansion has come out. I haven't even opened my Warcry box yet, and there's already an expansion. And Beastgrave is coming out for bloody Warhammer Underworlds, so they're doing another one of those.
That's what I'm saying. It's just, good luck trying to keep
it up. It must be doing well, surely. If it's getting this many releases, it must be doing well.
Well, they keep trying.
Like Christmas is coming.
True.
Yeah.
Well, that is the question. Is it doing well, or are they just like trying to make it do well?
Yeah.
Who can tell? There seems to be like leagues and stuff playing at the GW, so I assume it's doing okay.
Yeah, I think there's competitive stuff out there with it. I think that's where that's the success, like at games events and stuff. There's a competitive part of that. Because, five-man squad. Build it, play it, destroy it, use a hammer.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's good that it's doing well, I guess, because it does provide a low barrier of entry to the Age of Sigmar. You can just buy one warband and play with your friend who has the base game.
Yeah.
As opposed to needing to buy an entire fucking army. So, yeah, it's got a good spot in the hobby.
Yeah.
So I guess it's good if it does well. I just don't dig hyper-competitive fucking skirmish games.
Oh, I kind of like it. The thought of it, just it's sort of more of a game night. Yeah, we'll have a game night and throw that down.
I love the idea of it.
Yeah.
I took one look at the game and was like, oh, the community for that is not going to be a thing I'm going to want to be part of. And then I got into a conversation about it at the Games Workshop, and I was like, I have chosen wisely. That was all of the new releases.
Yeah, but there are some exciting stuff coming. Because I've been arming an eye on what army I would like to build. Do I build something new? Should I rebuild Salamanders? And then they hinted at something. And what did I do? I squealed like a little schoolgirl. It was exciting. but again, that looks...
I guess,
Yeah, go on.
Yeah, there was the elephant in the room. We didn't mention the Salamanders character.
Well, that's because he's not released yet.
Yes.
And I was like, if I talk about him now, I won't be able to talk about him next month. Or will I talk about him both times?
Oh, well it's Salamander.
We can
worth
say that he's coming,
the
and then next time he'll be there.
So, yes, it does look like the next expansions, no expansion, what are they called?
Well,
supplements.
Yes, Salamanders and Imperial
Fists. But that Salamander guy looks badass.
I'm not a huge fan of the Imperial Fist guy. I think it could just be a really shitty camera.
Oh, I think that
although, but he looks goofy.
But the picture of him right?
And yeah, the picture looks awesome.
Ah, that's the best expression ever. I'm hoping
the model
ever.
Looks a lot better in person because they have bad photographers.
Yeah, because that expression is just brilliant. On the actual artwork, not the actual model itself. The artwork is just... I find it hilarious. So I'm gonna make that noise. Yeah. So, okay, so new releases were done. Good, fabulous. We all enjoyed that,
yep.
Boys and girls? Good, good, yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, what do we do next? We talk about...
Hobbies.
Hobby progress. Mark, you were fiddling with bits earlier. How'd your hobby progress go?
Yes. I've got a lot of models built, but not a lot painted in the last while, so... I built my Zoanthropes and I painted some of them, and they're kind of shadowy at the moment, but they're getting there. I've got two Carnifexes built and ready for undercoating, and I'm currently building like a jillion Gene Stealers, which is slowly crushing my soul.
Yeah.
And that's probably about it for this month.
We had hobby night last night. You would have done some stuff then. Right?
Oh, most of the stuff I've just shown you was from last night.
Okay. Michael, how goes you? Because you've been the only one who's actually regularly updating our site with the progress you're doing.
Yes, I have been trying to go out of my way to take regular pictures and put them up there. This month I've done nearly finished the second Goliath truck, so I already did the first one, did the squad for that first Goliath truck earlier on, probably halfway through the fucking big unit of shotgunners that I've got, and I'm looking forward to next month's allotment of models, which is a single Lehman Russ and a Primus, so that'll be much easier to paint.
Nice.
Are we on?
Okay,
we are
back and live. And as soon as I went live, guess what? Oh, no, I've still
cameras
had...
went away.
No, I have you back. Technical issues is every episode. Welcome back to me.
You should just reboot your computer every time we do this.
Oh, I don't know what's going on there. But brilliant stuff.
You need to find yourself some kind of tech adept. And just keep them under the table.
Yeah. Oh, what's going on there?
Well, that would be a different type of podcast.
Yeah.
Pretty sure that's a terms and conditions breach on Twitch.
Yeah.
You don't need to do that.
Well, only if it's on camera.
Yeah. So you keep talking while I do some editing. Because I got my stuff working, except there's one thing that's just not quite right. I just need to fix that. But you keep talking. Ah, oh, love
one
technology.
One of these things, not like the other.
See, the worst thing about this is that you're the only person left to actually talk about the hobby.
That is awesome.
Was I finished talking? I wasn't sure. Are we discussing... No, Slowgrow's battles will be in the battle report section.
Yeah.
So
we
can
talk about your
yet.
Modeling of your Slowgrow. Yes.
If you're doing any more models other than your Lehman Russ, etc. after that.
Well, I mean, I've been building like Space Marine Scouts, and I bought the Eliminators, and I still haven't built the other tactical Scout Dreadnought that I got. Got a lot of Primaris Marines that I want to build. But, yeah. Hey, we're also going to be talking about the Tag Tourney, aren't we, in Battle Reports?
We will be.
Yeah, although I didn't need to build any new models for that. Mm-hmm. Although I was trying to get my frickin' Inceptors to go together properly. Those bloody flight stands. They are the worst flight stands Games Workshop has ever produced. I hate them so much.
Which actually reminds me about the hideousness of the Carnifex model. Like getting the legs on those stupid things to sit flat and actually attach to a base.
Oh, is a nightmare. I guess. They are a bit of a pain.
I've stopped fiddling.
I've got like four of those bloody things now.
Stop fiddling, and I've had a drink from our sponsor, Capital Brewery.
So how about you, Greg? What have you done this
week? I actually had a hobby progress. Yeah!
Yay! Yay!
Oh, that was it. No. Look, I did. It was a lot more building than painting, but I did add some Drakari Scourges, which, who do I play against? Steve Parker, the other one. And he found out how much they're fun. Four Haywire Blasters that do mortal wounds if I roll a four when I roll a wound, whether it wounds you or not.
Oof.
Yeah, and I rolled three sixes, which is the three mortal wounds plus the wounds they do. They were fun.
That sounds pretty rough.
Yeah. Michael, I got you next. Haywire.
Yeah.
But it works in vehicles.
Joke's on you.
Yeah.
I don't rely too hard on the vehicles. So.
Well, yeah, we'll go into the next slow growth stuff. So I built them. I built some more witches, some more venom, and I'm actually ahead of schedule in the building phase of the slow grow. I've got a raider to build next, and then the last month's worth of stuff to build, which is good. And I actually got some painting done. I joined in the hobby progress last night, and I, oh my god. So I was doing edge highlighting, and it was just taking forever and stuff like that. So most of it last night was looking at what I did and what time I spent. I went, oh man, this is crap. Today I had a revelation. I'm going to try contrast paint to try and speed this up, because otherwise I'll never catch up.
Mm-hmm.
So I sprayed some of the grey. What is it? It's not Corax grey. What is the other one?
Wraithbone
is the warmer one.
Wraithseer and Wraithbone.
Yeah.
Wraithseer. Wraithseer and Greybone.
Yeah, there's a Greybone for you. So did that. They got the black contrast, the red contrast, and the dark elf skin contrast. Went, all right, let's see if it works. And with less than an hour, I had five models looking pretty smick. I went, holy crap. That's so much easier. Oh, I gotta get these painted! And they look decent too.
I'm totally hitting all these gene stealers with contrast, because otherwise I will be painting forever. Yeah.
The vehicles will still need to be painted as normal, because there's too many flat surfaces. But foot troops, they're just going to be smashed out with the contrast. And hopefully, when I play you, Michael, I'll actually have all my infantry painted.
Nice.
Yeah. Don't rush me.
Congratulations.
What is that? 3 weeks? 2 weeks? Tomorrow? Fuck. Yeah, so that's my hobby progress.
I might have a fully painted army by then, yeah.
Yeah. I ran out of magnets, so I've got one venom that doesn't have a stand or guns at the moment. Oh, god dang it. So.
Trick is not using magnets at all.
There's too many flies. They need them because on, off. On off. It's good. So that was my hobby progress. I had stuff to input for this month. It was very exciting. I might have needed a moment. I need to calm down. What else? What do we do? We talk about battle reports. Mm. Or slow grow. Or both.
We got a bit of both.
We've got
everything. All the things. We can talk about this for so long.
Battle reports it is. Well, Mark. I'm saying Mark first, because you've got the big picture at the moment out of all of us. Your head is proportionally bigger than ours.
I see.
Yes. You are wise and mighty. You must have the words of wisdom.
Wise and mighty. This is where I open with the battle report that I lost.
Yeah!
That was round six of the slow grow.
Now, explain what the slow grow scenario was this time, because it was different.
So we had this... We had a scenario where there's like a sun marker, and whoever's closest to it gets mortal wounds, and anyone shooting towards the sun gets like hit penalties and stuff. And
it wasn't even towards the sun. It was if your target was closer to the sun marker than you were.
Well,
if you weren't pointing towards it, correct. If they were closer, you were fucked.
We had that.
That was the wording.
Yeah. So we had that too. Be in line with each other, but it'd be that one inch.
This is where I point out that we completely forgot about the whole sun marker thing, and just completely, like, we didn't remember it until like turn three or four. And then we were like, we're mostly dead now. this makes no difference. We'll just play. We'll just play as we have.
It made a massive fucking difference in my game.
Yeah, same.
It probably would have made a massive difference given that Anto actually had shooting.
Yeah.
So
that was kind of it. I had shooting.
it quite possibly did lead to my loss, but you know, it was fun. So yeah, there was swarms of gene stealers and a Gant bomb that seemed to genuinely terrify Anto, which is odd considering he has a Tyranid army and should be aware of these tactics. So
that's why he was terrified.
Yeah. So, but yeah, I fought valiantly, but yeah, lost and just barely survived by the end of the game. So
they're getting a few wins.
Yeah. So they hit really hard.
Oh, they're hot shot Luz guns. How good are they?
Yeah, I was actually more worried about those than like bolters from Marines.
Mm. They don't have the range. It's only 18 inch, but they hurt when they hit you. You go, wow, that's a hole.
Well, and I have paper thin armor, so like any AP just like is just remove stuff.
You got paper thin armor.
Yeah, that's what he said, Michael. Yes.
I call the 6+ save paper thin.
Yeah. I'd say mine is thin, but we witches have a 6+ invulnerable versus shooting.
Mm.
well, yeah, when your whole army's toughness 3 with shit all armor, things are bad.
Makes it tough.
You just have to have more bodies.
That's it, eh?
Yeah. Yeah, I have to say, I've changed my Slowgrow army so it's got more bodies than it did at the start. Yeah.
Mm. That was pretty much my change for this 250 points was like, more bodies, please. Oh. Buy more bodies on there.
Well, I'm going to get a Raider next and I'll probably get another Venom. And I go, oh, hang on, it's the Gravity one. I'm going to get Witches next. I'm going to get. Yeah.
So yeah, so that's my game. How about you guys?
Well, you pick one. Pick one.
All right. Fine. So my Slowgrow game actually, it started off really, 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 really well for me, because there was 5 objectives, 1 in each deployment zone, and the other 3 were in the middle. And at the start of the game, you rolled to see how much they were worth, and mine rolled a 6, and none of the other objectives rolled a 6. So I was like, well, I just have to hold this, and then you're fucked. So I pretty much was like, I'm going to hold this, and you're fucked. And that was kind of how the game went.
Oh, dear. The Sun played Paladol?
The Sun was an absolute pain in the ass because a lot of the time I'm hitting on like 5s anyway.
Yeah.
So then I was hitting on 6s. Good times. I kept joking at the start of the game that my trucks that my guys use as transports are basically orcs. And then I spent a lot of time hitting 6s to hit as well. So I was like, it turns out we just are orcs.
Well, Yang, purple orcs are sneaky. So.
Yeah. Well, we were orange, but yeah. But yeah, like it just didn't go well for him because he was demon, so he didn't have a lot of shooting, so he was running down the length of the table to get to me, and I was just like, well, I've got a bunch of guns, I'm not going to run to you, I'm just going to shoot you.
Yeah.
And I shot him a lot.
Yeah, when I played that demon army, I didn't realise how much the screamers eat your face, and I just charged him rapid fire. Why aren't you shooting at me when I charge you? I don't understand. Well, I don't have any shooting. Oh, this should be a quick game. Yes.
Am I playing, Paul?
Please?
I'm not. That's not fair.
Oh, so now you want to extend it to December?
No.
There was a lot of luck.
I'll just call him out.
Yeah, it was a hell of a game. Like, I just had some good luck, and then I just really capitalized on that good luck.
Yeah.
And that kind of was the game.
Fair enough. Well, my Slowgrow game was against Marines, which I thought...
It's always Marines.
Ultramarines. I thought, oh, it's going to hurt because a whole lot of witches with no AP weapons that are strength. Well, actually, because they are poisoned, it was always going to be a 4 plus, and I was hoping it didn't have many vehicles because that would stuff me. I had the sun start in my deployment, which hit my jet. I can't think what it's called. It's not the bomber. The other one, the jet, and hit it for D3 mortal wounds. Okay, that would be 3 mortal wounds. Awesome. The jet flew off into the distance, and the sun came back and hit the same corner and did another D3 wounds on the frickin' jet. It moved again. And guess where the sun went? That's right.
Oh, you got a victory point. Did you get a victory point?
No, it didn't die. Jet? It was on one victory wound. By the end of the game, it was on one wound.
I was wondering if anyone would score that.
Hey, well, think of it this way, though. He's technically following proper fighter tactics by always having the sun behind
him. Having the sun at his back. True. It's just hard when there's 4 suns. You've got to put in real effort to keep the sun to your back.
Yeah, if it weren't more turn, I would have flown over and someone would have followed. But I had the advantage of, I was always basically had the sun behind me. So I survived longer than I probably should against Primaris Marines when I've got, no armor. 6 plus invulnerable sounds great. Except when it doesn't.
Well, having that 2-hit penalty really does make a difference.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Because my Hive Tyrant lasted... He absorbed insane amounts of firepower from the Militarum. Yeah. And,
the Phobos armor. I think it's the Phobos one. That's the minus 1 to hit anyway. So it became a minus 2 to hit. And so, I was rolling, having to roll 6s at times and stuff to try and hit him. And then, 4 to wound. Yeah, no AP. Excellent. Yeah. It hurts. It's the witches are an unforgiving army. But, we'll keep going. So I didn't win that game. I actually only lost by 2 points in the end because I captured... There was one marker that was worth 6. So I went, I'm sitting on this. Move me, bitch. And they tried.
But... I only won by 3 points because I tabled him.
I almost got tabled. I was going, kill my fighter, please. Because then I could just go run at him. Kill me, kill me!
Kill me, I need the points!
I'm out here, kill me!
Do it!
So that was a slow grow. Another loss, but apparently, you'll talk about the tables later, which the point system is just screwy. But I'll benefit, so I'll be quiet. But we did have another tournament as well, which was one of the reasons why we're bringing this tournament things up, which is the 2x2 up tourney. So TV2, 1,000 points each army, so 2,000 point battles. We had to play 2 games in one afternoon. I paired up with Rob, so I was already at a disadvantage. Time management is not his skill.
Yeah, you were kind of riding his back to try and speed him up.
Yeah.
I mean, we were really up against, even if we were all playing really efficiently, we were running into time issues.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we're not trying to criticize him. It's just, he takes time to play because he's still kind of getting to grips with everything.
Well, that's it, yeah.
And we were in a hurry.
Yeah, there was a time. And people said, no, we don't need a timer on it. Well, I think we need a timer on it. But we'll talk about the do's and don'ts of disorganized events later. But we did not do well. Did we win a game? No, we drew. It was a no result for one game because we didn't finish turn 3. And we lost the other game. So, it was you. The no result because we only got to turn 3. Michael, I'm pointing. No. All the podcasters can listen. No, it was Steve.
We won.
Yeah, you won against us. And Steve and Steve, we didn't get to finish. We had to finish, turn 4 as a minimum.
Okay.
Yeah, and we only got to 3. So they were in front at the time, but I actually felt that we would have come good because we pretty much smashed the Space Wolves, and it was just Yeah, in Space Wolves. And it was just the Desert Lions force that would come in. Because, oh yeah, that's right.
The Ultramarines. It was Ultramarines and Desert Lions.
Yeah, so you were Desert.
Because the Space Wolves were
with
me.
You were Dark Angels, Space Wolves, yeah. Yeah, I felt that we demolished one side. We only have to look after the other one. We had heavy casualties. Can't get wrong. But I felt we could have made a fist of it anyway. Stop it. But yeah, and you played two games. Two different games. One beating me and one laughing at the other people. No, no, no.
Well, yeah, we won both of our games. We did really well. I think our game against you really swung a lot. Like, it didn't feel like... It did at that first turn, it did not feel like we were going to win. Like, your Alpha Strike hit us hard.
and then
we made it across the table, and it all went downhill.
Yeah.
Because we commenced with the punching.
Yeah.
Your guys didn't like that.
No, so Katachan and Admech, I don't think it's the right combo.
Oh, look, Katachan and Admech's not a bad combo, but when you're squaring up against two like marine armies who are climbing down your throat to kick your teeth in and wrestle your uvula, it's going to be a thing.
It was a thing. It's true.
Especially once my aggressors got in the middle of the table sitting in a piece of terrain being like, look upon our armor save, ye mighty.
Oh my god, yeah, so yeah. The Phobos armor.
They were not going anywhere. Oh,
far out, Phobos armor. I'll tell you where to shove that Phobos armor.
It was the Gravis armor. The aggressors. Oh. But they were in cover.
Yes. Lance guns
and
in
they
cover.
Had like they were just getting to stand there and double shoot everything.
So yeah, yes. So first round, Steve defeated Adam Alec 4-2. You and Nathan defeated me and Rob 8-4. Oh, okay. So then did you play? Yeah, you played Adam Alec next.
Played Orcs and Blood Angels. Yeah,
pretty close game. Looking at the score there.
Yeah, super close. It was a mere 26-4 or something.
23-4.
I know it's hard. You lose track.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, it was kill points.
Yeah.
So we were just like cranking, just chomp, 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 chomp.
Nice.
And we didn't lose much.
No, well, I learned some stuff. That's the first tournament style I've organized, and I've learned a lot, which we'll talk about after the ad break. In the meantime, quick ladder update on the slow grow. Put him on the spot. Yeah!
Where are we? Here we go.
The update,
so,
watering the ladder and hoping the sun comes out.
Yeah. So if I go off the points from...
it's all that counts.
without, like, just the game points, it actually puts you at the top, Greg, and then Steve Parker, and then we got Michael, who's only won one game.
One win.
It's a weird system.
Anto, and then we've got Adam in rounding out in fifth.
But actual wins.
So actual wins, we've got Steve Parker at the top with 5 wins. We got Matt Stevenson 4 wins. Anto with 4 wins. You and me are equal on 3 wins, and sorry, Nathan as well.
Oh, Nathan Scott. What is Nathan doing? I forgot.
Space Wolves.
He was using his Slugger army in the 2-up tourney.
Yep.
So, I mean, we've still got 2 games to play, some of which I think are happening on the weekend and surrounds.
But what about the full points?
they're not good. They're not good. The full points. All right. So Greg is still number one with the full points with the hobby, followed by Michael.
So I'm nipping there. Well,
Steve Parker, followed
Can't
by
miss
me.
A hobby night.
I don't know how the heck I'm in fifth when I even had the buy penalty on one of my games. So how the heck I'm up there?
It is a weird system, which we'll talk about very soon.
There will be much ranting.
I just love that I'm contesting for first and the wooden spoon.
It's an infinite itself.
Yeah, it's a weird world.
All right, cool. We'll have a quick break and then we'll get into the do's and don'ts of disorganized events.
Need your board game fix? What about a new family game to entertain the kids? Head over to Roland Board Games at rollersboardgames.com and look them up on Facebook. Board games, card games, party games, you name it, we've got it. If we don't, we'll do our best to get it. Rollers Board Games. Like what you're hearing? So do we.
You scream out in the night.
Who is this, you say?
You speak so silently.
Storyboard Concept. Want to hear more?
Anytime that you want.
Go to storyboardconcept.bandcamp.com.
And we are back, and as soon as we got back, Michael's camera dropped out. Yeah!
That's awesome.
That is awesome. Fantastic. How did I fix it last time? That's right. I left the conversation. So, damn it. Oh, no, you're back. So don't touch your dial. Do not move. Welcome back. Yeah. So I did mention earlier that we are going to get some more images and some more artwork from Sam from Rollers Board Games. So we really appreciate that when he comes and get those done. Be good because we'll get more graphics for our battle reports for our YouTube channel, basically, which we need to pick up because it's been a bit slack. So it will be good, and that will happen when he feels like it. So go to visit the site because he will send you stuff when he feels like it. No, that's not right. It is good. We had a game night the other night. It was very good. Thank you.
Yeah, I was cut that I keep missing these games. Like, they sound really cool.
I got another one in about 6 weeks. Did I send you the information?
No, I think you did, and I was looking at it going, I don't know if I can go to that. But they look really interesting. It looks like you get to play a wide variety of really interesting board games.
Yeah. We're going to try and do it every 6 weeks, and at least one new game. I got to say, we lost. There was a few beverages from our sponsors. Drunk, and then the last game of the night was Cards Against Humanity, and there were people in tears. My hand was up.
Good way?
Oh, my God. Oh, I haven't laughed that hard for a very long time. Even the sober person had lost it. So anyway, that's not why we're here. We are here to discuss this monthly's topic, do's and don'ts of disorganized events. How's that?
So where do we start?
Okay, so the reason this came up is because we're going through a slugger at the moment, and we got these weird scenarios, and you've just heard the latter variations of people who are winning games are on top and at the bottom at the same time. So it's a bit weird. We're also at a point that we don't get to play everyone in the competition, so it was raised whether we wanted to extend to December to fix that, and most people said, no, God, no, please, no!
Make it stop. Make it stop.
We also had a two-up tourney, which was interesting results on the day, and learnt some stuff from that for the do's and don'ts. And then there's other players we've had. We've had other competitions internally as well. Please remember, we are a friendly competitive. We don't play competitive. We don't have any sheep stations. We lost them years ago. Yeah. So when we talk about tournaments and events, it is for fun.
Local events.
Local events.
These
Thank
are
you.
Local events for local people.
Oh, I can't get much more local than me, mate. All right. Yeah. So that's where it's come from. And I believe, Michaels, you've played other competitions before. It would have been good to have Liam or Steve, the other Steve on, because they've played a few events too. Should have reached out to Grizzly Bear, who started in our group and then got the competitive bug, and we haven't seen him since.
ITC is a powerful lure.
But even ITC, I mean, I had a great chat with Matt from our local Warhammer store about competitions and events as well, and he's got a good good topic. No? Please, someone else talk.
He has a good opinion.
Attitude. You take that back. No, he does. He has a good opinion on what he thinks.
I'm sure he has at least some good opinions.
Yeah, and that's good.
It's okay,
and
Matt,
even
love
the
you,
latest
Matt.
White dwarf, the man himself, Jarvis Johnson, has a couple of opinions on how to run events as well. So it's kind of interesting. So, Mark, would you like to start your rant? I mean, opinion?
My rant? So, slow grow. I guess don't try to make there be a prize for everything. The slow grow seems the because we've just copied and pasted from our good friends at Jolt there from their slow grow.
Is that where it came from?
And it was literally,
is that where our rules came from?
Yeah, it was literally, and I didn't
fault.
Find this out. I didn't
oh,
find this out.
Lewis, it's Lewis's
here.
Fault.
So. Well, see, they had theirs, and they were in the like, and the copy that they've got that we got was one that hadn't been play tested or anything like that.
I've said that several times that it feels like a set of rules that haven't been play tested.
So we got to, I think it was round four, and I had the mission sheet printed out, and one of the staff members walked up to me and said, "Oh, hey, you're playing our slow grow." And I've gone, yes, apparently so. And then he went and proceeded to give me all these pointers about how to tweak some of the missions and stuff like that. So a lot of the scenarios weren't very play tested. There was a lot of sort of ambiguous rules and things like that. My biggest tip is be very clear about how you want things to be and what the spirit of something is supposed to be.
Because
there's a lot of those like there'll be a cool little like victory point condition, but then there's no specifics around whether it's supposed to happen once or whether it happens every time you do it and things that. The other thing was that, as I said, our points are all over the place. So, I mean, I'm having to record who won the actual battle and then recording points that don't reflect a winner. So when you're tabled, in a lot of cases, you make more points than the person who won the game.
Well, that's exactly right. You told me that you said that I was on top of the points ladder. I've been tabled twice.
Yeah.
That's why.
I've been tabled like three or four times, man.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
La-di-da.
And I'm second.
and that's exactly right. And the other thing is that we've got points tied to social events and things like that. Now, it's like... I like the idea of encouraging, you know, social hobby nights and stuff like that. I mean, I like getting on Skype and, you know, I mean, we were on last night, you know, just talking rubbish and getting some models done. But there are a lot of people who have a hard time making it to that kind of thing. I understand life commitments and all of that kind of stuff. Mm. And we tried to alleviate that by cycling through which day of the week they all happened, because I think originally when Liam first did it, it was Wednesday every month.
Wednesday,
Wednesdays, which is both good and bad.
It's really good if you're free on Wednesday.
Yeah, it's good. But I'm never free on Wednesday. It's good in that the day is more predictable and people can move things around it. So that is a disadvantage of cycling it. It's harder to make sure the day's free.
But the disadvantage of it being specific is
that if you just can't do that day because of like a work schedule or whatever, then you just can't do it.
Yeah.
So there's pros and cons to both sides.
Yeah, and so we tried to sort of spread it out so that a wider percentage of people could at least attend one.
Yeah.
But that said, there are guys out there that just have no interest in doing that. They do the hobby to get away from people, and they sit in their basement and they're quite happy to paint minis all day or whatever.
Garage, thank you, not basement.
Well, you know.
Yeah,
your hobby space. I mean, I'm on the second floor, for crying out loud. I'm the furthest from a basement you could get. So we do have that issue where people showing up to events is tied to some of the points rather than just their actual game performance.
Yeah.
And as I said, it just makes it a nightmare for collecting stats because I have to record the points, the victory points that people have, and then there's all these bonus points for turning up, bonus points for being tabled, bonus points for bonus points, bonus points for
killing your warlord, killing their warlord with your warlord, bonus points for someone, one of your units being killed by one of your other units.
Yeah, explosions and perils, and as I said, the complication there, and then there's also a thing where you rate your game,
which is
completely subjective, and everyone forgets it, so you have to sit there and do it, and you've always got that one guy who hates every game, just so that the other person doesn't get any points or anything like that. And then you get the other guy who loves every game.
Yeah.
So that there's bonus points for everyone. And
I just assumed no one's given anyone bonus points. I hadn't noticed that happening. I had subtly
killed the idea by stopping asking people.
Yeah, and I wasn't giving
and
it
everyone
to you
just forgot
just,
about it.
No, I wasn't giving it to you because I thought, any gray area in a tournament should never be there. So when you're thinking, if you've got a sore loser, they're never going to give you 4 points. And we had an incident the first round where one person penalised the other person because they didn't like how it was played. And we know the person, last year's winner of the Thumbs Up Award, most team, what was the one? What did Anthony win last year?
Sportsmanship Award.
Sportsmanship Award. He got penalised for unsportsmanship.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't remember this, but...
Yeah, it was the first round. Yeah. It was the very first round. The very first round.
Okay.
Felt that Anthony was not playing to his army. This is Anthony, the guy who won the Sportsmanship Award. A landslide Sportsmanship Award.
Yeah.
So it's that... Yeah. Anything like that, if it's subjective, get rid of it.
Yeah.
I can understand there being a place for sportsmanship in a tournament because there is a point for those systems, and that point is basically to flush out dickheads.
Oh yeah, like, I don't have an issue with that.
That's the point of those systems. Yeah.
But when the dickhead is penalising the sportsman,
now you know who the dickheads are.
Well, I know
I'm not suggesting that the person is a dickhead, but
I just want to make that clear. The person who did that, he's not a dickhead. He plays the game very one way. And when I play against that person, I know what to expect. Because I know. Yeah. And if I play a different person, say Adam, for example, it's going to be totally opposite because he just doesn't give a shit.
But yeah, it's like, a lot of the time systems like that are so that you can identify if there are players who stick out as, being anomalies within the system. It's like, is a player giving every single opponent, 0 points? And you're like, well, that clearly we should ignore their results because they're biased. Like, yeah. a lot of the time, that's what people end up doing with those kind of systems.
Yeah.
See, see, the problem that I had was, and this will tie into another element, is, you know, like, be committed to your tournament.
Oh, God.
And that's that. That was one of the problems that we had with the slow grow is that you know, we were letting Liam organise it all, and then he had to pull out, and because he was time poor, and I don't blame him for any of that.
Life gets in the way.
Right. The thing is when you come in and it's gone for two rounds and nobody's recorded any results and no one's it's basically been just sort of shambling along on under its own momentum. It really creates a lot of hassle and everything like that, particularly when you have these ratings things. Because as I said, I had to prompt every player to say something, and there'd be times where someone wouldn't check Facebook for weeks or whatever, and you wouldn't have the opportunity to do it, and then they'd be like, oh shit, that was a month ago. I can't remember.
Yeah. Well, that's why I was saying at the start, you know, just assume they give the middle rating unless they say otherwise.
Yeah.
Well, and that's and that's why I stopped asking. Yeah. I just nixed the idea. I'm not giving anyone bonuses or penalties
with events is when we first started, when RLG first started, we had our monthly event. Basically, just monthly, one day on that month, we get together and we play. We then expand it to a weekend, and then we expand it to get your game in that week. If you're doing a tournament like a slow grow, I really do think you need to commit to a specific time frame because you're still waiting for results for September, aren't you?
Yeah.
October is about to start.
Yes.
You don't have... If you can't commit to it, then it's a forfeit. I'm sorry, yes, life gets in the way and it's not your fault, but it needs to, you can't penalise another person or penalise the tournament organiser going, oh, for crying out loud, come on, just get me a result. Again, this goes back to the commit, and I get that life gets in the way, but we're not playing sheep stations. If you can't play, you can't play.
Yeah, another problem we've had is I don't even think the system that we're using has a forfeit system.
No.
Like, do you just get... Because it penalises your opponent as well if you can't play. Like,
yeah, and that's exactly right. So, when Liam pulled out, he also forfeited his game. So I took the basically a buy penalty...
Yeah,
the same as all the other people who took by.
Yeah, we had two people pull out.
As a result of that.
Yeah.
The other thing that you have is the chopping and changing players.
Yeah.
Having a certain number of players, and then after round two, three or four of them have dropped out.
Yeah.
Really makes it very much harder because you have to completely redo the draw.
Yeah.
You have to, like, I must have, like, to fix the draw from people pulling out, fix up all the results from people's things. Yeah. I spent an entire weekend in spreadsheet hell. So this is a thing about being a tournament player.
Yeah.
If you don't think that you can get to all of your matches, I would have serious reservations about signing up for a tournament unless you can commit and say, right, I'm gonna like, barring some crazy emergency or something like that, you know, because turning around and playing one game and then going, oh, this isn't for me, is you're basically being a dick to the organizer at that point.
Yeah. But more on topic. When you design a tournament, design a fucking forfeit system because every single tournament will have someone forfeit or buy, and you need to know how that fits into your tournament.
So it's interesting to say this is an unplayed slow grow that we're doing because, as we said at the start, be clear in the rules.
Clarity.
And the special rules.
Be clear about what your rules are. Be clear about what you expect from players. What is the vibe? Yeah. Is your tournament friendly? Is it competitive? Are people going to show up with like fucking ITC lists and just ruin everybody's day?
And like, as an organizer though, one of the things you've got to be prepared for is you're going to have that guy that's always questioning every rule.
Yeah, we do. We have, in a lot of cases, it's more than one. We have the rule guy and we have the whatever, mate. We have everything between. It's going to be always hard to fact that. But yeah,
the clearer the idea of how you want a specific scenario to play, the better you're going to handle all of those questions. Because, as I said, like someone's going to be like, oh, does this rule affect deep strike units?
Yeah.
You know, does this, you know, and all kinds of stuff like that.
Yeah, it's not easy. You've got to think about the special rules that come into play.
Does this morale rule affect vehicles?
Oh, that was a good one.
You know?
Yeah. Oh, or the frozen one. Exactly right. If my vehicle turns, that counts as moving, right?
If I get stuck in close combat, now I can't move in my movement phase. Do I auto-die because I'm in close combat?
So there's a couple of examples. I had another good one. It was great. Oh, if it's a slow grow, be clear at the start.
Is it a slow grow or an slow grow? League?
That's right. My understanding when we did a slow grow is you build your 250 points, then you build another 250 on top of your original, and that's it. Apparently, that's called an escalation. I'm going,
No, it's not. It's called a slow grow.
It's called a slow grow.
Everyone else who uses the other system I've heard has called it an escalation league. Because an escalation is the games get bigger.
Yeah.
A slow grow is the army gets bigger.
Yeah.
That's so the way I've clear. Always heard it. But some people on the internet use the two words completely interchangeably.
Yeah, slow grow to me is I build, here's my core, I add another top. That's why I had a 2,000 point army built in, you know, and I got it. All right, I need to get this next.
You need to be clear about the army construction guidelines.
Yeah. Yeah.
How is the army for the tournament composed?
You've got to be clear.
Are people rolling for their warlord traits? Are people selecting warlord traits? Are people rolling randomly for psychic powers? These are all things the rules say have multiple answers. You need to tell people how your tournament runs.
And at the start.
At the start of the tournament.
Yeah. Mark, you've done great since you've got handed basically here. Liam had to leave.
Yeah, these are not criticisms of you.
No, it's not criticisms of Liam either. This is we got handed this by an untested, which is fine. We tested it. We'll give our feedback. Lewis, hope you're listening. On the, but I think if you're going to play a tournament, you should play everyone once.
So, and as I said, I mean, I ended up spending an entire weekend spreadsheet helling to try to, you know, bring some semblance of order. One thing that I would suggest to people running a tournament is communication is key.
Yeah.
One of the things that ever since taking over that I have always managed to do is whenever I see people posting results, I pop on there and I'll say, this has been recorded and it's been put in there so that people don't think they're just sort of screaming into the wind, that there's actually stuff going on. And when I'm posting the events, I make sure the mission sheet is up there because the guys may or may not have it. Things like the end of round results and things like that. I always make sure that I've got sort of a steady, regimented kind of reliable communication stream that people can look at and see. Because if you're not communicating to your players, they're like, well, what the heck am I even doing? Is anything happening? Yeah. Like, you know,
where am I, in the top? Am I the bottom? Or in both? Michael,
that's exactly right.
It's a TO, clarity, communication, but also if you're a player, don't be a dick about it. Be upfront from the start. If you've got questions, ask before it starts, not week four.
Yeah, it's like another thing that people need to do when they're writing rules, show them to people.
Yeah.
Let people read them before it starts and say, can you see any problems?
Yeah. So, I'm going to use that.
Get eyes. Well, get more eyes.
I'm going to use it as a segue into the two-up tourney.
In this instance, we actually did show off the rules.
Yeah.
In this instance, and they all seemed okay at first glance.
Yeah, it was when you were putting them in and actually using them. Like, that's where the playtesting comes in.
Yeah.
And that's exactly right. And so, I mean, it wasn't that we didn't do our due diligence on the rules and stuff. It's just that we wound up with some scenarios that were very ambiguous, as it happened to turn out.
Yeah.
Well, I think some of it was the problem we had, like, with a slow grow versus escalation league. A lot of us looked at the scenario and went, oh, yeah, I can see how they mean for that to run.
Yeah.
And just kind of went with it. And it wasn't until the people who...
read the rules to the limit.
Well, no, what it says is what it says.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, but that's obviously not what it means. It's like, yeah, but it says what it says. And you're like, well, fuck, yeah, you're right, it does.
Yeah.
So, you know?
Yeah, you got to account for different people.
You need to get different types of people in there to get their opinions as well.
Yeah.
But it's the clarity thing. Like, you know, that's another thing about this system that I have found is really weird and probably one of the biggest problems we have in terms of the ladder for it is... your points during the game are your points you get for the league, which I've never done that before in a tournament ever.
And that's
fucking us over.
Yeah. Well, that's one of the reasons why I'm now collecting three sort of sets of stats, with hobby progress, without hobby progress, and game wins and stuff like that. And that's just so that I can say, right, you know, a person who's winning all their games deserves some recognition as far as that absolutely. Is concerned. Because if you come in and you're winning, you know, 5 out of 6 games, and then you're third on the ladder to somebody who's won one game, you're like
if you look at the 2-up tourney. If we were doing that by points scored,
I'd
be untouchable now.
Yeah,
like I'd won without the rest of the games played.
No.
Because of that fucking 23-4 that I got. It's just crazy.
I'd like to go to the 2-up tourney because I'm sick of Mark's voice. I try to put all the rules up. It's the first time I try to organise a proper tournament as opposed to just the ladder command and stuff like that. I try to throw up the rules so everyone can see them right at the front, right at the start. I had questions, try to answer them straight away before the event started. There had to be some changes when it sort of come through, sort of going, because victory points, as you said, victory points shouldn't play a part in the ladder.
Yeah.
Unless it's a draw between how many wins and loss. That's in my head.
Yeah, points for and against is the way football works.
Yeah, exactly. Points for and against. It's not, you get how many wins, and if there's two people on 15 wins, well, let's go points for and against then to try and to separate it.
Yeah.
Makes sense. So I try to make it flat. At the same time, if you're going to play a two-person tournament per side, 3 hours won't do it per game.
Yeah, two people working together is hard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like Nathan and I did well in terms of working together, but we're used to working together.
Yeah.
And
you said, I was pushing Rob hard. Fortunately, he still loves me. I was pushing him hard to do it. But then we had other players where Steve wouldn't allow Steve, sounds normal, to do anything for him.
For his guys, yeah. And if you're playing a multiplayer game, you need to be able to.
Yeah, I'm going to look after the right-hand side of the table while this is...
If both of your opponents want to shoot the same players' models, you can't do both at the same time unless both players are engaged.
Yeah.
And that's where you need to be. You need to trust the people you're with and be used to working together.
Yeah. So I learned that, from that I've learned 3 hours is not enough for a two-person game. 2,000-point game solo for a person who knows their army, that can work. 2,000 points, two people, one person doesn't know their army.
I think you're pushing it with 3 hours on a 2,000-point game.
It was always going to be tight.
And so I tried to be upfront as possible with the rules. I put them out a week before so everyone can see what's going on. I used the rule books. Right? I still had questions about it, but I tried to make it. I noticed that some victory points would not allow here's a game that gives you no victory points, and here's a match that will give you lots of victory points. But, oh, shit, well, I can't do that if victory points will determine a tie. So I had to balance that out.
Yeah.
You have to look at what your scenarios are setting up if you're a TO. You have to look at that. You need to be upfront about if you're an experienced player or a novice player. Rob, my teammate, is still a novice player where I'm not. Not a good balance. I thought I might be able to push him, getting moving quicker, but it just became, just roll the fucking dice! More than, yeah, you could do this. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, well, I mean, what was it? Adam and Evan, was it?
Alec. Yeah.
They were, Adam was kind of telling Alec how to play, because you know he didn't know the rules very well, and that can work.
Yeah,
it's just not fast.
It can work if it wasn't at times. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. So for me, if I do it again, I would like, you know me, I like to organize competitiveness between us group. I like to do it again, but either it's a single player or a one game one day event, not two games one day event.
Yeah, because I really wanted to do the that tag team tournament, but I just couldn't get a partner. And then when the dates moved, it just can't get there.
Yeah, so. you do need to have belief in your partner that they know their army, or they can help. They can help you with yours when you need it, even if it's just witnessing the dice rolls of the other player. That's all it needs. Make that moving quicker. Time clocks. Do you do time clocks? That was the other part. Do we do time clocks? It was a yay and an a in the mixture. If it's a timed event, how do you stop people from taking too long?
I don't like the idea
long?
Of timed clocks, but I mean, the answer is that people get punished by not having their results recorded if they don't match the time.
We had an incomplete result. It was 4-3 at the end of turn 3. And I think we could have been quite competitive towards the end, but at the moment, it's counted as incomplete. And it wasn't because someone was deliberately slow.
Because the game just took time.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. And that's also been one of the things where I've floated to people, hey, you know, if we're going to do some of these bigger games and stuff like that, or more intricate ideas, that it might be better that we pick someone's house so that we're not kicked, so that we don't have that time pressure of
venue makes a point.
Get the hell out of Jolt.
Venue's a big point, yeah. We were on a time frame because it was a 3-hour game per game because the opening hours of where we were playing.
Yeah.
So it made you very good point. We will invade your house next, Mark.
I've got to get some game mats.
But yeah, like so many of the guidelines around what to do and what not to do with a tournament really come down to clarity. Be clear.
You've really, really got to have an idea.
Like, be prepared. Be a scout. Said, that's right.
With the scenarios, you really got to have a vibe that you want for each game, because you're going to like no one can account for every question that anyone is going to ask. So what you need to have is you need to have a clear direction in how you want an encounter to feel. So that when that left field question comes in, you go, oh, well, it's obviously going to be this because I, you know.
Okay. Yeah.
We'll rule it this way because it goes with the intention of the scenario. So
that's exactly right. We're playing on a frozen wasteland or whatever, and if you're stabbing someone in the chest, you're not going to freeze to death because you're moving, you know.
All right, so
when I brought it up, that was Nathan's counter-argument. He was like, you've fought in close combat. You know how hot it gets. They will not freeze to death. And I'm like, but that's what the rule says, man.
Oh, well, our argument was you can't shoot into combat because it's canon as they're moving amongst themselves and fighting like that. Therefore, they are moving.
Yeah.
That was our theory.
Yeah, you...
But yeah, that's that clarity. So let's talk about stuff that does work. Like the Games Workshop, sorry, Warhammer tournaments. We're all excited about Psychic Awakening, aren't we? The global campaigns.
I'd be more excited if there was more substance.
Well, we don't know much yet. It sounds like a new god coming.
I'm cautiously optimistic.
That's what I will say as well. I am cautiously optimistic. I would like to be more excited than I am.
Okay.
But...
So, okay, let's go back to the previous global event that they had. That was fun.
Yeah.
We had a lot of fun with that. Yeah. I really enjoyed global events. I think they do it right. It's just a simple play, record results, who win, who loss. Like that. Win, who loss. And
simple. Who won?
Who won? Who's next? Who's dead? And it turns out the result of the whole environment. I love that narrative campaign sort of stuff.
Yeah.
If you're going to do it, which I would like to do next year, by the way, boys. You've been warned. A narrative campaign.
I strongly support the idea.
I was going to say, you should like ask Andrew Hollis about running a narrative campaign. Dono, who does all the 30K stuff. He's been running like years and years of narrative
that
campaigns.
Sounds like
maps,
you,
camp,
you
all
know
kinds
everything
of stuff.
Now. Thanks, Michael.
I don't know anything. I'm basically like a corpse. I am the corpse emperor upon my my rainbow light chair.
I had a good conversation with Matt at Warhammer, as I said today, to give some ideas. He was talking about tournaments and stuff and the slow growth they run at the store. And I said, oh yeah, we're actually talking about our podcast tonight is about events, organized events, the do's and don'ts. And he goes, oh, brilliant. You should know this. Oh, you want to know? Okay. So.
Oh, we thought that's what the lead up was for.
I just wanted to build suspense. Come on. They've learned that if you're going to do, especially if it's slow grow, 3 months tops. Do not do any longer than that. People will lose interest. And as we said, do you want to extend it for another month? No, God, no! No!
I've got to say, it follows through with like every, like, all of the stuff I've done, like all the Necromunda campaigns, people always drop after about 3 months, 4 months.
Yeah.
Like,
the enthusiasm is
good. It's solid advice. Yeah. It's much easier to get people involved in a short, sharp, more intense thing than an entire year of slow grow.
Yeah.
Mm.
I think, yeah, 3 months makes sense because I know that after this tournament, our slow grow, I don't know if I'll play Witches again. I really don't. I'm hanging out to bring out my Death Guard again. Or my Salamanders when they bring out the new Codex supplement.
I guess that comes down to how much you like your chosen slow grow army in the end.
True.
That is a big problem with slow grow. It's like, do you know if you like the army before you start? Because if you get into it and it comes down to that commitment thing. You have that horrible, I'm committed to this thing and it's going for so long, but I hate this fucking army. Like, then you've got to keep buying models for the army you hate.
Well, that's it.
If you get yourself stuck. Actually, in the White Dwarf, there was a, they've been doing one of those Tale of Gamers things. And in that, like, there are several things in, and one of the players was like, I decided I need to change army. I just need to. And so they let them do it. It wasn't that one, actually. It was the one before that, I think. But yeah, in the Tale of Four Gamers, he's talking about how they let him just swap army. He was from Orcs to Death Guard because he just couldn't do Orcs anymore. Yeah. So are you going to let players do that? Because if you do, some players will get very bloody annoyed that you're letting other people swap horses midstream, to mix my metaphors. But if you don't do that, people will drop out.
Yeah.
Because they will get sick of their army and they will drop out.
Yeah. Well, I was going to do Harlequins. That was my whole choice.
Yeah.
But again, oh my God, I've got to get 2,000 points for Harlequins. They're all the freaking same units.
They're all the same units, and that's painting so many checks and straps and
just
all of the monkey Harlequin stuff.
So 3 months. Here's the other part they say. 2,000 points is not a standard battle. Even Jarvis,
yes, it is.
Jarvis Johnson, the creator of everything, the Lord of Almighty, says, no,
Jarvis is cool, but he's not infallible.
It was never meant to be 2,000 points. It was meant to be the standard battle for every battle you play. They think smaller is better. You get your 1,000 points plus some specialists. That's the game design. That's from Games Workshop, boys and girls. Don't look at me. Don't blame me. Blame the guy, that one. Yeah, guys, people can't see what I'm pointing at, so it's awesome. Matt was saying he's the most successful slow grow they've had at Warhammer was a 1350 slow grow.
I can sort of see that.
That's because, again, your core, I mean, with a couple of specialists.
If you're doing a short slow grow,
yeah,
you can't have a big...
Oh yeah, this is the...
because you can't say it's 3 months. That's 500 points a month. Fucking go
fuck
for
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Like,
well, GW will,
especially out of a store where you're going to have a lot of new people coming into the hobby, expecting them to paint 500 points worth of shit a month. Nah,
I can't even get what the 250 done. Jesus Christ. So 1350 is, they're recommending that is a good size army because you can get your core, which is, you know, your three troops and a couple of elites and stuff, but then you specialize that extra 350 points. The 1,000 points is your core, which, looking at my army, yeah, that makes sense. I got about 1,000 points core. I lie.
I've actually struggled to meet the points. I have never gone into a single round of the slow grow and been over points. Ever.
I could have been over points.
The only time I can't think of a single game where I haven't maxed out all my options just to try and get within 100 points of the target.
But then again, as I was saying at the start of the slow grow, I started this because I had a giant pile of unbuilt cultists, so I've got, you know, as many as I've painted over again, sitting there undercoated grey, that I'm probably, arguably, going to try and do after the slow grow, but probably won't.
Yeah. So, Rules of Engagement by Jarvis Johnson. The latest White Dwarf. Better get money from this Warhammer for advertising. He does talk about that, if you listen to their podcast, they're not so good with their PC words. They absolutely say 2,000 points is not the fucking point, people.
Well, you know, they can say that, but I've been in the hobby reading all this shit for like over a quarter of a century,
I
disagree
points,
is what they have said.
Yeah, 2,000 points has always been in my head. That's what I build a 2,000 point army. If I go further than that, great. But 2,000 points is a minimum.
Look at the last 30 years of White Dwarves. Bloody, it's all 2,000 point armies.
Yeah.
Like,
Jarvis
can say what he wants, mate.
He can say what he wants.
He can say what he wants.
He's earned the right.
Yes.
But if you're going to do a tournament, mate, if you're going to do a time tournament, if you're going to do a special day, one only, get the points right. Hmm. Make sure it's battle. It's one thing I didn't put in the two-up tourney. It must be Battleforged.
Oh, didn't you put that in there?
No. I did later. I think I did later because I knew our rule person would harp on that for me.
Yeah, I just assumed it was in there.
Yeah.
I mean, like, yeah, you can do any points value you want. I guess he's right there in, you know, focusing on a point as if it's some kind of holy grail is the wrong way to do it.
Yeah. Enjoy the, you know, you gotta, if you're gonna be TO, enjoy it. If you're going to be part of it, enjoy it. Don't make it a job. If it's a job, don't do it.
If it's a job, get paid for it or don't do it.
So do's and don'ts are pretty simple, aren't they? Clarity from the start.
Clarity.
Put your
clarity,
information
clarity.
Out well before it starts so any questions can be answered. If you
get ahead of yourself.
Get ahead of yourself.
Yeah.
Record all your results properly.
Yeah.
That's a big one. Like, you know, and if you're a player, post your bloody results. Don't make the TO have to chase you for your results.
Yeah.
You know what? I found a lot of, like, if you're doing a tournament where everyone's there on the same day and they're all going to be knocking it out, like, just a little slip where they just tick, you know, did you get this objective? Yes. You know, so they can kind of, to make it easier for them to fill it out in a consistent way, and they just would go around and drop one of those in the middle of each table, and the players fill that out, and they collect them all.
Yeah.
Make it simple for the players. Absolutely. So there's none of that grey area. It's none of that, what do we do now? Yeah. If the sun's there, do I need to shoot because I'm that 1 millimeter closer to him? Even though
do
the sun's
I get an extra point
him?
If a second unit gets killed by the sun?
Yeah. You got to be clear with your rules. Yeah. If you're not sure, ask.
Yeah, ask someone else. Ask. Preferably ask someone who has a different attitude to the rules to what you have.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if you ask me and Greg, we might give you the same answer. If you ask, like, a
Steve
lawyer,
or Adam, there'd be different answers together.
Yeah.
See, the other thing is to discuss it among the group because you're all going to have that different point of view. And when someone with a different point of view raises something, then you might change your point of view in response.
Yeah.
And you've got to be sort of willing to compromise a little.
Well, it's like how the different methods of army. Yep.
Yep. If you're a TO, should you be in the competition itself?
Generally speaking, no.
Yeah.
Especially if you've got the grey areas. Did you like this person?
Well, to be fair, being the tournament organiser and being a player in the tournament hasn't done me any favours.
Yeah. Well, I mean, especially in your position, because you weren't the tournament organiser.
Not originally, no.
But, I mean, usually you want to not be in it so that, you know, you have less of a perception of favouritism, especially if you're the kind of person who might win it.
Yes. Yes, if you're going to be TO, step back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Last thing you want to do is win your own tournament and everyone fucking looks at you.
Oh, what, everyone looking at me?
I that rule was in right from the very start.
Yeah.
I can't help it, guys. I'm just better than everyone.
I can't help if everyone's crap. Come on.
Well, it's like I would love to run a Necromunda campaign, but I've won like the last three I was in. And I'm like
here's 100 bonus victory points if your name is Mark.
There's two of them. Okay. Well, you were going to say something, Michael, before I rudely interrupted. I never rudely interrupt.
No, I was going to say, for example, the army construction thing where we had different perceptions of how you build armies for the slow group.
Yeah.
That didn't come up until one of us mentioned, I feel like some other people keep changing their lists.
That was me.
And other people were like, yeah, why wouldn't we be able to change our list?
Yeah.
And then we were both like, because that's not how slow grows work.
Yeah. I did. I remember I saw a picture of someone played the previous month, went, okay, that gives me an idea what I need to play against. And then it turned up and went, your army is completely different. Hang on.
Yeah.
How does that work?
It's like, wait a minute.
Yeah. So, yeah. Clarity.
I guess that comes down to when you're letting people in who either already, who already have the army or are prepared to buy, 5,000 points of whatever and smash them out.
Yeah. Yeah. Look, you got to be realistic. A 12-month slow grow campaign is an expensive campaign. No matter what army you choose. That's a big ask for everyone to participate in. Especially our last month is actually, instead of the normal 250, it's 500 points.
Yeah.
I can speak for myself. I'm not going to have the full 2,000 painted by the end.
Oh, man, I don't have the full... What are we up to? 1250 at the moment?
Do you need to borrow some Tyranids? I kind of actually do, because I still cannot get Hiveguard.
It's
Well, I don't actually have any Hive Guard, unfortunately.
I have a lot of
Karna Fexes and Gene Stealers and Tyranid Warriors and a Scythe Hyrodule.
They only exist with scalpers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was telling you my story about the Basilisk. Like,
Yeah, I'm trying to get a Haywire Blaster, and they wanted to get $16 for it. And went, but it's one gun.
Yeah.
No.
I once paid like $10 a pop to buy like a half dozen combi weapons.
Yeah.
Like, some models are just hard to get the bits.
Yeah. But you've got to be clear in your campaign too. Is it WYSIWYG or is it, I'll just tell my opponent what they have.
Yep.
I feel like every tournament is WYSIWYG unless they specifically say it's not. Like, letting people come in out of WYSIWYG is not a good idea.
No, it needs to be WYSIWYG. Absolutely. If you say, but I don't want them to have a heavy weapon this time, we'll magnetize the model. Yeah.
Take a different unit.
Yeah. You can't have your opponent going, oh, did he say he's got a plasma gun or a heavy bolter?
You know why? It violates the first three rules of tournaments. Clarity, clarity, clarity.
And the fourth one, don't be a dick.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's harsh. Well, we had, player took too serious because he played that, but that was a tournament. We have been going for a while. We want to add more, the do's, apart from just clarity, clarity, clarity. Playtest, playtest, playtest.
Yeah, playtest things, talk about things, communicate.
Yeah. Assuming that you have a circle of friends that you play your games with, talk to them, test it with them. Right. The two-up tourney was my test to see if it would work and stuff like that. Clearly, it needs changes for me.
I actually, to be honest, my experience of the tournament has been incredibly positive. I thought you've done a fantastic job.
Well, thank you.
So I've apparently missed any problems you have.
No, the only
I felt it worked out pretty well.
The only part is the time limits. That's the only bit I have an issue with.
A thing that I really liked is that the fucking scenarios are consistent and that you had us playing on consistent tables where the terrain was pre-set up.
Yeah.
So that people were not setting up the terrain before each game.
Yeah.
In a tournament, that's a really important thing. You want your people to have consistent terrain on their tables.
There you go. A deuce. That was one thing I thought. We're going to have a central piece and then it's going to be a city or a forest. But when you move tables, the scenery does not move. So everyone gets to experience the same thing and same objective because there's a key piece that does not move.
Exactly. If you go to a big one like CanCon, there will be just rows of pre-set up tables. Yeah. That setup doesn't change.
Yeah.
People just get allocated to tables.
Yeah. I think that's pretty key. Because you move stuff that becomes then, well, he's got an advantage now because that wall is there. But if I...
Yeah. Yeah. Having terrain that's been set up by someone who's not playing that game is a really helpful thing for a tournament.
Yeah.
Mm.
So, TOs, take note. Oh, and TOs, be aware, it's an unforgiving business. You will have someone complain, even if you had the perfect result.
Yeah. I guess the other do that I'd maybe go is have a clear scoring system.
Yeah.
Just points for winning the game or whatever, do yourself a favor. Don't record five separate stats to give people participation trophies and stuff.
Yeah. Less is more. A simple scoring system.
Yeah.
The more complicated it is, the more of a pain in the ass you're going to have.
Yeah.
You do not need a four tab spreadsheet to run a tournament like what I have.
Yeah. And if you're going to run those things with the grey areas, maybe not make it a public vote.
Well,
because I go, a lot Michael, of the, you're a dick.
That's,
and Mark will see that.
That is a disadvantage of the way we're reporting our scores because we're reporting them onto a Facebook page where it's all public. Aforementioned little paper slips that people got when there were sportsmanship components, it was one for each player. You fill out your slip and then you put it on the TO's desk. Your opponent never sees how you rate their sportsmanship.
Yeah. And that's where TO probably not play that game as well, because that's definitely can be seen as, oh, dodgy. Yeah. So if you're going to be a TO, you've got to step back from the game. If you're going to be a competitive TO, if it's a friendly, and you know you can get along with these guys, yes, even Mark and Michael, and they're going to let you play anyway. It's not going to. But then get rid of the grey areas. Then just keep it win loss. Simple as that.
Yeah. I mean, I do love the idea of grey areas, like composition scores and sportsmanship scores, painting scores. I love those components, but I'm not a super competitive player.
Yeah.
It comes back to that. People need to know what the vibe is.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, if people were going to CanCon and there was fucking hobby composition scores and all that other shit, there would be a fucking riot. Mm-hmm. Whereas I like, you know, I like that the slow grow is encouraging people mechanically to get together and socialize. Because to me, the point of this slow grow as an event has been to help get the group together more often to play games.
Yes.
And in that context, it's been works,
successful. Yeah.
But not everyone was expecting that context to be the focus.
Yeah.
And that's where a lot of problems have come from.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, no, it has worked. We, as you said before, we have played a lot of games this year, which has been great.
Yeah, we played. I've played a lot more games than I had like last year, and I've played a lot more games with you guys than I have before at all.
Yeah,
like it's been really good. On that perspective, it has worked phenomenally well.
Yes,
it's gotten us together to complain about it, bonded,
make a podcast about it,
possibly. Created some new drinking habits.
Someone dies from perils. That's a shot.
Ooh, December event.
Careful, I've had that happen.
Yeah, so there's a good point. What do you want to get out of the tournament? That's a pretty good part. Yeah. If you want to bring the social aspect, because I think last year we lost that social aspect because we weren't playing as often. We weren't having a dedicated day to play, which we did the year before.
I like having the dedicated day to play because even if you're not playing or you don't have a game lined up, you can rock in and just see what people are doing.
I prefer the dedicated day because then when you and Mark, look, I'm pointing, but, you know, podcasters, you can't see that. When Michael and Mark are playing against each other and I'm playing against, say, Rob, we're in the same spot, so okay. Are you getting ass fucked? Yeah, I'm getting ass fucked. Oh, excellent. So is he.
Did you bring the lube? I didn't bring any lube. Can I borrow some of yours?
Nah, mine's heated. No.
Got it dry.
It's important. If you're going to have a gaming group, you do need to socialise that gaming group.
Yeah.
Yes, even with Rob. No, that's not very fair.
But, one of the things that I find is that when I'm sort of in the heat of a game, I don't have the chance to sort of step away from the table and just have a look at it.
You don't have to. The choice is there. If I've got a game, if I'm too up turning and I've got to wait for Rob to make his move, I can go over and talk to Michael. I could also make a pizza and probably build a house, but that's not the point.
Maybe I need to play more games with him.
Yeah. But it was about... We're a group... We've got a fairly sizable number in the RLG group. How often do we actually see each other into a group?
As a big group, basically we don't.
No. Maybe two games at a time.
The most of us that have been in one spot has been the two-up tourney.
Two-up tourney? Or the end-of-season drinks.
Which I missed because children.
No, we'll get rid of them.
we'll definitely be organising something like that again for the end of the year. Well, actually, it usually winds up being in January because
it's
Christmas.
Hard to organise in January, December.
Yeah.
Some months are just a shitter.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good point for your TAs. Make sure you got your timing right. Don't do December. Just don't.
Yeah. Just do not. Do not actually, do December.
Even in September.
September because all those Christmas babies.
Just most months.
Yeah.
Maybe every second month.
Yeah. Really important.
Early in the year.
Just don't.
Early in the year is better than later in the year, generally. Yeah. From what I've seen of the tempo of games and things, because over September, August, the amount of games that we had that were 2-3 weeks late.
I feel like that's that relates back to the point about the short, sharp 3-month thing.
Yeah.
Mm. Like, that's not so much late in the year, that's late in the tournament.
Yeah. Trying to get, keep that momentum. Yeah.
So
Matt was saying, he's got two tournaments going. It's a 513, no, was it five? Basically 1250, and then another tournament sort of overlaps a bit, which goes up to 2000. So if you wanted to continue from your 1250, you could, but you could also start at 1250 and go on to the 2000 point army.
Yeah.
So if you've got an existing force. Yeah, to break that 3-month cycle. So it's 3 months, not for the full 6 months. So you've got to think about that. Think about the attention span of people who are born. I won't finish that because we probably have some people who want to listen to us still.
I've had several arguments about that kind of stuff in the last week. Old man yells at cloud, the argument.
Well, it's not even just about attention span.
Yeah.
Like, the longer you drag it on, the more chance there is for life to intrude.
Yeah.
If you tell me, here are these 3 months, here are these 3 dates, are they free? It's much easier for me to give a concrete answer than it is, here are some dates 9 months down the track, will they be free? And I'm like, well, no. Yeah. You know, maybe my son has a camp that he needs to go to. Maybe shit will happen down the track.
Yeah.
It's less likely to happen in 3 months.
Yeah. Be realistic. All right. We have been going on for 1 hour and 45 minutes. We should probably wrap it up, considering our normal length is an hour.
We did the same thing last time, didn't we?
Yeah, we did know this was going to get down to a bit of a rant. That's fine. Fine, Mark. You're welcome.
Burn it. Burn that with fire.
Clear messages are clarity, test it, be realistic. What
talk
else?
About it.
Talk about it.
Yes, yeah. Communication is key.
Communication. Make it simple. For fuck's sake, make it simple. Yeah. Don't complicate it, because people will just go, fuck you. About usually 3 months into it. Not the first game, because they'll just go, I'm playing a game.
If you need a pivot table, you're doing it wrong.
Man, I loved the pivot table back in second edition. Like when you had the turning markers and the templates and
multiple... I meant an Excel pivot table. An Excel pivot table. So... If you're going that deep into Excel, your tournament is too complicated.
Yeah, very much.
All right, folks, we will wrap it up. I think you got the message, right? Or we just rambled? It's your choice.
Yeah.
Okay, Mark. You like that one? Mark. G'day, Mark. You want to say
good
bye?
Good evening, everyone. See you next time.
I will say farewell too, because I want to leave it to the voice who's above me. The voice above me. I hear voices. Michael, please sign us out.
That's all we have time for this month. Join us next month. Actually, I didn't finish talking about what we talked about. We talked about how to do a tournament correctly. There's a lot of things to talk about, but you should probably keep it simple, you stupid. Join us next month for more wobbly adventures!